I remember one time we were in town on a Saturday, a rainy Saturday, and all my friends were driving around town because they were mostly town kids. And I told Dad, I can't wait for the day when it's raining and I can drive around town with my friends. And Dad looked at me in his very calm, loving way, and he said, there's still work to do when it's raining.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we head to the South Dakota District to continue our getting to know the Council of Presidents series. I started to say the greeting the Council of
Presidents. We're greeting them.
Getting to know the Council of Presidents series. It's going to be fun today.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu.
Our guest today, the Reverend Randy Sturzenbecker. He's president of the South Dakota District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's so great to be with you.
Did I get your name right when I introduced you? I forgot to check before we went on the air.
I was going to ask you about that. You did. You did very well. Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice job, Andy.
Years of practice. So in this series, in getting to know the Council of Presidents, we get to like dig in and ask all the deep, dark, personal secrets. No, actually, we just get to ask you questions about your favorite things in the first half in the lightning round. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
All right. Let's start off with your favorite color.
Blue.
That's popular.
It's a very popular color in the series.
Yep. Favorite cuisine.
Anything that comes from a cow.
That's great.
All right, Pastor. Next up, favorite book. We know you love the Bible. We know you love the Lutheran Confessions. Tell us about another book that is a favorite.
You know, if I had to guess, I'd say anything written by Louis L'Amour. I'm a cowboy at heart in a great cowboy state, and that stuff always speaks to me. There was one book, though, when I was in college, I read Elie Wiesel's Night. Oh. And that's the only book that I started that I could not put down. I sat down, I read the whole thing, and went to bed about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a great book.
It's a very compelling book, for sure. A very important question. Your favorite office supply?
Oh, boy. Paper clips.
Okay. It works.
All right. Favorite dessert?
Oh, favorite dessert. Tiramisu. With coffee. Good black, rich coffee.
You know, some tiramisu has espresso on the top.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It's the best.
With coffee.
Yes. All the coffee.
For hours.
Yeah. All the time. All
right.
Ice cream is never a bad choice either, by the way.
It's fair.
All right.
Sorry, that's me. I was so enthralled by coffee that I forgot it's my turn to ask you a question.
Okay.
Favorite vacation destination?
South of Orlando, because that's where the grandkids are. If it isn't involving grandkids, there's a lot of spots, but right now South Orlando is the top of the list.
All right, very good. Favorite hymn?
594. Do you know what that is?
Oh, not off the top of my head.
God, that's not God's own child.
God's
is it?
Own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ.
My mind blanked for a second, but I definitely should know what that number is. All right. Last one. Favorite time of day?
Morning. I get up. I'm one of those people, when the sun comes up, I'm awake with no alarm. And when the sun rises in the early summer, like now, I have a robin right outside my window that loves to have a chat in the morning. So in the early morning, when the sun is coming up and the robin is out there singing, to be awake and outside to watch the sun and just see nature come to life, God's creation revealed, it's wonderful.
The sun is up, the birds are singing, it's time to get things done.
With coffee.
With coffee. Yeah. Maybe some tiramisu.
It works for breakfast. Why not?
There's eggs in it, right?
It's food.
There you go.
Pastor, tell us about where you grew up and what life was like there.
Yeah. Well, I'm president of the South Dakota District, and my office is 32 miles from where I grew up.
Huh. So, how convenient.
Yeah, it's interesting that way. I grew up on a dairy farm south and west of Sioux Falls, so very rural lifestyle. I loved every bit of being a farmer and a farmer's son, and learned tremendous things, tremendous lessons that fit into every category of life growing up on the farm.
Tell us more about what life was like for you. We have a lot of Midwest and or rural listeners. I'm sure they'd love to hear stories from the farm. Tell us what life was like for you on the farm, and also that journey through your younger years of schooling too.
Yeah. Life on the farm is magnificent because you learn everything. You learn responsibility. We didn't have a big family, but we had a lot of work to do. We milked cows. We farmed quite a bit. So there was always things to do. And what that taught on a very early age was responsibility and a work ethic. I remember one time thinking we were in town on a Saturday, a rainy Saturday, and all my friends were driving around town because they were mostly town kids. And I told Dad, I can't wait for the day when it's raining and I can drive around town with my friends. And Dad looked at me in his very calm, loving way, and he said, there's still work to do when it's raining. And, you know, that kind of summed it up. But in the midst of the work, in the midst of teaching me a good work ethic, you also learn how to do things. If it's broke, you fix it. If it's wore out, you make it new. You don't just buy a new one. You use it again and again and again. And that has been so helpful in life, not only in the agricultural world, but just in ministry as well, to realize you don't just throw things away. You don't discard things because they're not what they should be. You work with them and you teach them. And you shape them and you form them and you rework them into something better. That's really the ministry. As we deal with broken people, we take God's gifts and we use them and we reshape and we repent and we are renewed.
Mm. Tell us about the path to seminary and what seminary life was like for you.
No, the path to seminary, this is the Job story. Yeah, I am the son of a farmer. I love agriculture in every aspect. I love outside. I remember my grandmother early on telling me, you're going to be a pastor. And I remember looking at her and saying, you have got to be kidding, because education was not high on my list. So I heard that from Mom. As we went through school, I had fully intended to be on the farm and in agriculture. I went to a Votech right out of high school to get some education as far as mechanics, and I did all kinds of things there. All of them I loved. I was a mechanic. I started a business and ran a business for a while. I changed businesses because computers came out into cars, and that was a whole different aspect of things. I started woodworking with my father, who was a carpenter too. Started doing that, house remodels, building furniture, all kinds of things. Everything I did, I loved, and I easily could have made a career out of it. And God gently shut each of those doors. He didn't slam the door, he just closed that door, so I would go a different direction. And I was delivering furniture one time. I was in Fort Wayne, and I thought, as long as I'm here, I'll go see the seminary. And I went in, and I looked around, got into the chapel, and I stood there looking up at that wonderful chapel up at the cross, and I remember praying, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to do it, because I can't do it on my own. And I prayed that, and well, God closed a couple more doors, and he opened the door to seminary, not seminary at Fort Wayne, but seminary at St. Louis. And after 10 years of wandering in the wilderness of different vocations, I started seminary, and here we are.
Here we are. Absolutely. What was seminary life like for you, or some of your classes, some of your fondest memories of your time at seminary?
Seminary was tremendous on a family level because we lived in the woods, which is on the, you know, married student housing at Concordia St. Louis. And we had all of our classmates around us, and we were in the same boat. We were all young. We all had families. We all had no money. And we were all in class together. And it was a wonderful community. The education was tremendous, but really the pulling apart of theology and talking about all the things we learned and the application of that happened late nights as we sat out and talked and watched the kids play. It was just tremendous on that aspect of a family. Still lifelong friends from seminary. But the education, being able to be there being able to be there and hear revelation from Dr. Lewis Brighton and have him teach me, teach our class through that was tremendous. We always joked a little bit in the class that Dr. Brighton would stand up front, he'd put his hands under his lapels and lean back a little bit, and he'd start talking about the Trinity, and he'd look up, and you could almost see that he was seeing through everything and seeing the Holy Trinity as he was talking. It was just wonderful to listen to him teach with such passion about this great revelation of Jesus Christ. And the other one that was so foundational for me was learning anything from Dr. Jeff Gibbs. What a tremendous teacher, just to be able to sit and learn. And he had such a pastoral way of teaching. Started each class with a collect or a prayer, taught us through it, always pointed us back to not just what we were learning in that little aspect, but how does this apply to pastoral life? How does this apply to the church? How does this apply to the people that you are going to sit at and help? And that was tremendous. That was honestly, that was ministry forming for me, to hear how he thought about all of the bigger things that we have as we deal with the confessions and the scriptures. And how do we take that and apply that to somebody who's just lost their husband or wife of 65 years? It was tremendous, and it has served me very well all the years of my ministry.
We're talking with Reverend Randy Sturzenbecker. He's president of the South Dakota District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll learn more about his story and the South Dakota District in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in the Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series. Today we're talking with the Reverend Randy Sturzenbecker. He serves as president of the South Dakota District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we've talked about early life, where you grew up, and seminary life and what that was like, some of the amazing professors you had at Concordia Seminary. Let's talk about where you went from seminary to bring us up to through time to your role now as district president.
I went home. I've only been out of South Dakota for 4 years. And that was 3 years in St. Louis, a year at Vicarage, and then back to South Dakota. My first call was in my home county. So there are four Lutheran churches in my home county, and I grew up in two, and I was pastor in the other two. And my first vacancy was the congregation I grew up in, the congregations I grew up in. So I literally went home. And the amazing thing was that the families in the churches that I was pastor to, I knew them because I was in 4-H and FFA and all of these things with their kids. So I knew the names, I knew the families, I knew the relationships. That life in that first parish in both of those churches was a honeymoon for the whole time, because it was so natural to be there. They knew me, I knew them, they trusted me to teach them, and I did, and we learned and we grew, and it was tremendous. 4.5 years at First English in Centerville and Zion in Hurley. What a great time of ministry and growth, not only for them, but for me, as they shaped me as a pastor. And then from there, God chose to send the call for me to serve the saints at Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church in Black Hawk, South Dakota. That's all the way across the state on the other side. I was born and served first in the agricultural business end of the state, and then I moved to the beautiful end of the state. Divine Shepherd is right at the base of the Black Hills National Forest, so there are pine trees all around. And we were fortunate to be out there for 19 years serving the saints at Divine Shepherd. And that was a wonderful ministry as well. God continued to bless that church with expansion and growth in His Word and growth through people, and starting an early childhood center, a daycare center, and then right at the end of my time there, starting a micro school there as well. So what a tremendous ministry God blessed us with there. And then from there, I made the mistake of saying I'd let my name stand on the ballot for district president, and God chose to change our world. And I've been district president now just a little bit over a year. That required a move back to the business end of the state, so we're right outside of Sioux Falls again.
That is quite a journey. I think you might be the first district president we've talked to that has spent most of their life in one state. I think that's a point for you on whatever we're keeping track of these things on. What a story how God has provided for you over these years. Tell us about what you get to do as district president of the South Dakota District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
That's a great question. And when I started as district president, I scratched my head and I said to one of my friends, I know how to be a parish pastor. I don't know how to be a district president. And he said, it's the same. You love your people, and now your people aren't necessarily congregations or your congregation members. It's pastors and their families, and then the congregations as well. So I look at this position of district president as loving our pastors and their families and being with them, making sure that they are healthy and stay healthy and supplying for what they need, for being there in the hard times to help them. That's the first and foremost, that's the greatest part of being a district president, is to be able to help and support our pastors as they feed the sheep charged to their care. And then the other parts of it, sometimes pastors need to be protected from the congregation that isn't working as well as it should. Sometimes congregations need to be protected from their pastor that isn't necessarily doing things as well as he should. And I have the opportunity to step in and to hopefully calm the situation down, get us back in the Word, trust in Christ, and confess our sin, whatever it might be on whoever's part, and work toward reconciliation so that we can get back to a relationship where congregation and pastor work well and our eyes are fixed on the cross of Christ and the hope and the promise that He has. Those are the great joys. When I still can interact with God's people and I can work with congregations and pastors, what a gift that is.
Tell us about the South Dakota District. It's a geographic district. I'm going to guess it's in South Dakota. I think I got that one right.
Yep.
That's about all I know, though.
sometimes districts like that include congregations in neighboring states as well. Yeah. Tell us about the South Dakota District.
Yeah, it's a wonderful district. It is the entire state of South Dakota, so 440 miles across, and we have churches all the way. So not only does the district president love God's people, he drives a lot. So if I need to do something on the other end of the state, it's 6 hours to get there. So you get over there, you try to plan a week's worth of work over there where you can connect people and do things. 105 congregations in the South Dakota District, 65 parishes, 5-day schools, 13 preschools and early childhood centers, 2 Native American missions, 68 active pastors, 4 DCEs, 25,000 baptized saints, 19,000 communicate, to give you the statistics. That's who we are in the South Dakota District, and the majority of churches are in the south and the east corner of the state, and then all the way up to the north on that south or that east end of the state. That's where the majority of the churches are, because that's where the missionaries first started out. We had missionaries in Nebraska and missionaries in Minnesota that worked into the Dakota Territory and brought God's Word to us from there.
What makes the South Dakota District a unique place? I know you mentioned 2 Indian missions. Nobody else has mentioned that yet. So that's something. But what else makes the South Dakota District a unique place?
It's really interesting when we look back at our history to see how we got to be who we are. Last weekend, I was in a church and we had the great joy of celebrating 125 years of God's faithfulness in this small congregation in the town of Fernie, which is not much anymore. Fernie is very small. And this congregation, as well as a number of congregations in the northeast corner of South Dakota, were started by a pastor from Minnesota, from Yellow Bank. And his name just happened to be Frederick Fotenhauer, who later became the fifth president of the LCMS. So as we look at that, you know, the history of South Dakota is rich with missions. As it was the Dakota Territory, Fotenhauer worked from Minnesota in through the Dakotas up into Montana. We have a number of pastors that started from Nebraska and brought God's word into South Dakota. I love the Old West. I love that lifestyle. So our early missionaries, he had one pastor had 24 preaching stations. And he would leave home with his horse and his buggy, and he would make the preaching stations, and he would go on to the next one. So the congregations would wait when he arrived, the baptisms, the weddings, preach the service, give the sacrament, bury the dead, and move on. And he would do that in each place. So he would do these 24, and they weren't close. His journey probably was 200 miles, and he would do that continually. What a great gift for someone to be so dedicated. Now, you can imagine, I don't know that there was air conditioning and heat in the horse and buggy. And he didn't stop in October when everything turned white. He continued to follow without roads, without safety, just going to these places and preaching, and God provided. What a great legacy, what a great start to the history of the LCMS in South Dakota.
Pastor Sturzenbecker, why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
When you read God's word and you take God's word seriously, you let God's word speak and you trust what the word says, we are the only denomination I know of that does that. I'm a pastor here because God's word is true and right, and it is able to do what it promises from Isaiah. It is efficacious. It does all the things that it promises, and the promises are tremendous. What I love about the LCMS is that we let God's word stand on what it is, for what it is, and we live in the mystery, not fully understanding all the things. Our reason, it can easily get in the way of our understanding of faith, but we have such a great understanding that we let the mystery stand because God is greater than our reason, and we believe the word is true. And we live by that. That's not easy in our world today. Some would say we're rigid and uncompromising. I don't think that's the right way to describe us. We are completely trusting what God says, and what God says will lead us through all of these situations.
All right, before we're done with this conversation, I want to go back to the lightning round. You mentioned vacation destination being south of Orlando, and the grandkids are there. So tell us a little bit about the family that supports you in your vocation and that you get to support in your vocations.
Yeah, my wife and I, Vonda, we've been married 41 years, coming up in a couple weeks. God blessed us with two wonderful kids. Our oldest is Ryan. He's right here in Sioux Falls, lives not far from me. Just a wonderful young man, still growing in all kinds of areas. He's to the point now where he's asking dad for advice, which is really wonderful. When you raise your kids for a long time, they don't want what dad says. And now Ryan and I, we talk a lot. We share a lot of hobbies together. We both love to motorcycle. So every year we try to take a trip someplace on the bikes, and that's wonderful. Our daughter, Megan, she's our youngest. She is married to a wonderful young man. They live south of Orlando. They have two wonderful kids, Jet and Colden. And, you know, I always wondered as a young man, I would see grandparents that followed their kids around, and I could never figure that out. Why would you move to where the kids are? And then these two grandkids came into the world, and suddenly things are different. So I have a frequent flyer card for, we have frequent flyer cards for Allegiant, and we get to Orlando every time we can, or they come up.
It's amazing.
All right. Favorite cuisine. You mentioned anything from a cow.
Yeah.
All right. So
I don't know why that's funny.
I know. I mean, this could be a cut of meat. This could be a favorite cheese. You mentioned ice cream too. So if you were sitting down to dinner and it could be all your favorites, because you said anything from a cow,
yeah,
what would that table look like? What's on the table tonight?
Well, what would be on the plate would be some form of a steak cooked medium rare with probably a potato on the side. And then, of course, you know, for dessert, hopefully there would be tiramisu. Ice cream is always good. I'm a cheese fan as well. So, you know, I grew up on a dairy farm. So, you know, the dairy is big in our world, and we are in beef country here as well. So all of those things. Yeah. And then an environment where my wife and I can talk and hear and can visit. Some restaurants are so noisy, you can't do that. But just to be able to sit down and have a great meal together, that's the true gift right there.
Delightful. Delightful.
Love it.
The Reverend Randy Sturzenbecker, he serves as president of the South Dakota District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Thanks so much for being our guest in this series, Getting to Know the Council of Presidents. It was fun to get to know you today, Pastor.
And you as well. Thanks for all you're doing.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.